Overnight, the Shanghai Futures Exchange raised silver margins to historically high levels, an aggressive move aimed at curbing volatility during Asian trading hours. This came on the heels of sharp sell-offs in COMEX silver on Friday, following several days of volatile but extended rallies. Most market participants initially interpreted the Shanghai margin hike as a genuine attempt to suppress leverage speculation and restore order. That interpretation made sense on paper. Higher margins usually cool markets. Instead, silver rallied nearly 2% during Shanghai hours. So what happened?
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey, and this is the Goldfix Market Rundown. It's 7:41 Monday morning. Okay, there's the homepage. Again, a lot of content out over the weekend, over the last 3 or 4 days. We're going to discuss a couple of those posts. And there's the markets. 10-year yields are down 2. The dollar is 98.23, down 15, 16. The S&P 500 is up 27. NASDAQ is up 153. The VIX is up 61. Stocks up, vol up. Gold is up 46. Silver is up $2, erasing everything from Friday's sell-off. Copper is up 9 cents. WTI is down 38 cents. Natural gas is up a penny. Don't look at that as part of the other complex. Bitcoin participating, but still not cranking, up 1,500. Ethereum 87, up 87. Palladium up 38. Platinum up 35. Gold, silver down $1.40. Okay. Grains are mixed with wheat down 5 cents. Okay, so there's the homepage. Where do we start? Let's start here. Things are happening even faster now. These are the stories that we have on syndicated on other sites, and we have a German speaking site that's going to be carrying Goldfix reports very soon, we're told. There are two stories we'd like to elaborate on a little bit. One is current events, and the other one is a Goldman report. Let's start with the current events. Okay, so people have been asking, especially in the chat, what happened with the margin raise. Well, overnight, the Shanghai Futures Exchange raised silver margins to historically high levels, an aggressive move aimed at curbing volatility during Asian trading hours. This came on the heels of sharp sell-offs in COMEX silver on Friday, following several days of volatile but extended rallies. Most market participants initially interpreted the Shanghai margin hike as a genuine attempt to suppress leverage speculation and restore order. That interpretation made sense on paper. Higher margins usually cool markets. Instead, silver rallied nearly 2% during Shanghai hours. So what happened? Volatility cuts both ways, and so does leverage. This is an interesting development and very indicative of where we're going. A significant portion of futures traders in China are CTA-style speculators who have, for years, played silver primarily from the short side during Asian hours. Their strategy has been straightforward: sell during Shanghai trading, then buy back during U.S. hours or during Shanghai hours, even before there was an exchange, exploiting the time zone differential, which we've all experienced the other way here. Until recently, that trade worked out very well, but conditions have changed. Silver has remained bid even during U.S. hours. Margin increases historically hurt the weakest participants first. During U.S. trading, that has typically been leveraged long speculators. They chase momentum, buy strength, and rely on borrowed capital. Higher margins destroy their return on equity and force them out. Margin hikes, they puke. That pressure is often amplified by large banks with deep pockets, usually positioned on the short side, and they can withstand margin changes far more easily and help it along sometimes. The dynamic flipped in China. This time, higher margins forced over-leveraged underperforming shorts to cover, stronger hands were already positioned on the long side. Many of those longs, particularly in China and India, are physical buyers rather than paper speculators. Instead of triggering a sell-off, the margin hike stabilized the market and pushed prices higher. That matters. It signals a broader shift in market structure if you weren't aware of it already. Where margin increases once acted as a reliably bearish event, during U.S. hours for sure, flushing out longs while entrenched shorts waited comfortably, we are now seeing leveraged shorts to exit as physical demand absorbs supply. This is not symbolic. It is behavioral. It's not judgmental either. It is what it is. According to sources closest to the exchanges that we spoke with, developments since the Black Friday blackout, when JP Morgan reclassified a significant amount of metal from registered to eligible, suggest growing coordination among global exchanges. The goal appears to be maintaining orderly markets across time zones and preventing one venue from destabilizing another. Remember, JP Morgan moved their metal from registered to eligible while there was a massive short covering happening on Shanghai. We believe, and the U.S. futures were closed, we believe Shanghai's margin hike was part of that effort. China wants to be perceived as a responsible actor in the international financial system. There is also reason to believe the information about the margin increase leaked during U.S. hours, contributing to the sharp sell-off in New York as leveraged U.S. longs puked and some new shorts probably entered, and they're feeling the pain right now. But when the higher margins actually took effect during Sunday night's Asian Open, there were fewer longs left to liquidate and far more shorts that had to cover. The result was the opposite of what bears expected. For more than a decade, silver has traded as two different markets, buying during Shanghai hours and selling during Shanghai close worked. Selling during U.S. opens and buying during U.S. closes worked. Each exchange expressed a different view of silver's value and gold. If exchanges are now coordinating and prices still refuse to behave, then the issue is no longer financial. Most of us know it's no longer financial, but it needs to be said that way. It is a physical issue. If there is not enough metal, rehypothecation loses its power. It may still suppress speculative excess, but speculation is no longer what is driving this rally. Physical scarcity is. We do not have to look far to see where that scarcity is concentrated. It is in London. That has been known for some time. Silver is not yet in a classic short squeeze. What we are seeing is tightness across physical inventories, exchange paper, and delivery mechanisms. Shorts continue to defer delivery by rolling futures. That delays the problem, but does not solve it. Backwardation in one form or another, lease rates, futures backwardation, EFP backwardation, is likely to persist. That's our opinion. Stress points will emerge episodically. December could have been one. Much of that risk was rolled forward. The next major delivery window for silver is in March. Might take 90 days or so, but that is also about the length of a typical lease rate. That's how it works. But January and February still allow for surprise deliveries, and based on open interest and options positioning at key strikes, risk remains elevated. There is short squeeze potential now in this market. Rather than expecting a single dramatic short squeeze that forces regulatory or political intervention, we don't want that, okay? Investors should prepare for something else, a long bull market made up of repeated rolling squeezes, because the entities expected to deliver the metal do not have it, and they are buying time by rolling their exposure forward, and the longs who actually want delivery probably don't want to destroy the market. They don't want to kill the golden goose. Maybe they want to, you know, squeeze it a little bit, but they don't want to kill it. The entities expected to deliver the metal do not have it and are buying time. I think I just said that. That is the market that we are in. And have a good day on that note. So therefore, Shanghai Futures Exchange margin hike backfires and hurts the shorts. And you short the rumor and buy the news. You know, the windows, the dips from margin hikes are still happening. They will always happen. How deep will they be and how long will they be? Remember, we used to get margin hike, drop, L-shaped bottom. Margin hike, drop, J-shaped bottom. Margin hike, drop, V-shaped bottom. Okay? The behavior remains the same when a margin hike happens. However, the longevity and depth can either increase or decrease depending on who the weak players are. And that's where we are. Next, lost in the shuffle with all the current events, Goldman sent a report out last week, and our take on it is that they're preparing to dial up gold allocations, right? This is a very narrow piece in its scope, looking at U.S. investment portfolio allocations. In a sense, they are making more real the often repeated comments by Michael Hartnett, gold is overbought but underowned. This note addresses, speaks their language. Institutional passive fund managers is the bottom line, the 60-40 people. And that's an awkward sentence. Let me say that a little bit differently. The note that we broke down for subscribers on Friday isn't directed to traders, like my language, isn't directed to retail investors, like buy gold that's going up. It's directed to passive fund managers. And it's saying, did you know that if you only put this amount of money into gold passively, you're going to make that amount of money? And you could just see that they're talking to pension managers, to passive portfolio managers, the same people that Hartnett has been talking to. The whole tone has shifted from, hey, central banks are buying, to, hey, we better get on board. It's almost like, wink, wink, the US is now telling people to buy gold after Italy has made sure that their people still keep their gold, after Russia has told people to buy gold, after India has told people to buy gold and now allows them to margin silver, after China has been telling its people to buy gold. It's happening, as the meme goes. It's all happening. You just can't say go out and buy gold because that looks bad for the dollar. You have to treat it as a commodity. Believe me, the tokenized assets that are coming out, big deal. It's a big deal. And you could put metals in your 401ks in 2026, February or March. Big deal. We're jumping on board, and Europe is really last to jump on board this, unfortunately. So we will be, we well, we've broken that down already, but there's more coming. So that's the other story. Here's the other news analysis. That's the World Gold Council's Gold 2026 outlook. Normally, that would be the feature. You know, it's a long report. It's very good. Of course, they throw water on their bullishness all the time, but it's still very good. Hartnett, Silver versus Oil, honorable mention. He barely mentioned silver, but I just threw that in there because it was a nice clickbait title. The story, however, is the silver versus oil relationship is symptomatic of Trump's policy. It's a very interesting take that Hartnett does. China's silver plate Dakota, that's unlocked. It's also on Zero Hedge. Founders Shanghai margin raise backfires. We just sent that out. And we gave you substantively what that was about just here. And then on Sunday, founders, this is the economic reset, which I want to come back to that here. Top right-hand side, founders, we didn't have a Sunday discussion, so we sent them this. And it's been a long piece we're working on. And we thought it was a little too wonky for premium. You know, just like, you know, it's a rabbit hole that you go down. And it's been a passion thing that we've been working on for a long time, since 2016. And the latest development just basically clicked for us over the weekend. So we wrote this out. But there's been like a ton of comments on it. So I think we're going to make this available for premium. Essentially, what it says is that since going back to 2016, when Trump won the first time, economists, really big picture economists, have been looking at the reset after World War II, the reset after Bretton Woods was destroyed in 71, and now the reset after the Great Financial Crisis, which was kicked down the road till 2020, is taking place. We are in the reset. It's happening right now. It's all happening. There's nothing more I could say about it. All right, so where were we? Coming soon, there it is. The economic reset is underway. We're going to send that out to premium today. Goldman on central bank gold buying. October buying was extremely resilient, I'm using their word, despite the volatility in the market, which means that central banks are buying near the highs now. They're no longer satisfied with raising the floor. They're being competed with by Chinese insurance companies, by American ETFs, and soon American pension fund managers, and they're getting in. Goldman on central bank gold buying. We just mentioned that. Why inflation will be much higher going forward. That's significant. And that's actually a combination of two concepts. The one is, going to the founders, the latest QE shows Fed has lost its autonomy. Powell has done not QE or RMP. It's essentially QE and short-dated yield curve control. And we're going to explain that as well as why it means that the Fed has essentially, A, lost its autonomy. Put it this way, preparing to lose its autonomy when Powell's out of there, which means there's no brakes on inflation, none. So this is 1975. You know, if you're thinking about it that way, this is print it to win it. That's what we're doing now. And Trump is getting ready to do that. And that's why you're seeing these outsized moves in all commodities now. All commodities, to paraphrase Hartnett, will have charts that look like gold at some point if this continues. And one other thing is that we're sending out to founders is private credit is about to explode. In 2013, the U.S. highly regulated private credit. And what that did was it made it harder for small businesses to get loans. And they're about to deregulate that. And that's also an indication of 1975. See, one of the reasons we haven't had rampant inflation for the last 10 years since the Great Financial Crisis is because of the restriction of helicopter money. And helicopter money means throwing money and giving it directly to people or raising credit, easing credit standards for small businesses so they can go out and they can start businesses and get loans to start businesses. Well, the helicopter money was broken when we started giving money during the stimmy checks during the during COVID, and it's probably going to happen again. But now they're about to ease private credit. Now, is that good for the economy? It's absolutely in line with what Trump wants to do. And that is we have to empower entrepreneurs and grow the economy. The flip side is, like everything, the banks are going to start doing ninja loans for businesses. And it's going to start being, you're going to start seeing small businesses compete for goods, for raw materials. It's going to be a bigger boom. If this goes through, and we think it will, and ZH had that analysis for us, and we're going to give it in a form that makes sense for our people. Data on DAC, unemployment, and CPI. That's it. Let's talk about what a good trader I am. Okay. On Friday. I took off 2/3 of my long position here, right before it sold off. Just got lucky. And on Sunday, I bought none back. So I'm out of the money on 2/3 of my position that I just sold out. So you gotta laugh at that because the market has proven me right in my opinions and wrong in my trading once again. So I still have 1/3. We'll see what happens. And if you're wondering what that means, well, look at these three candles. That's just extremely bullish. The question is, if you believe, as I do, that there's someone who tamps markets down or keeps a lid on it in a circuit breaker sort of fashion, will they be up here again? Well, in the past, they have been. I don't think they can do that anymore. I think it's like, we'll give you a couple days to work on it. We'll give you a couple days to work on it. We're not going to give you a couple months to work on it. I think banks are getting triaged right now. And I'm not so sure that JP Morgan is getting hurt anymore. I was in the beginning. They were getting hurt. But once you understand what's going on, and we know that JP Morgan does, somebody else might be holding the bag now. We'll see what happens. Up 46, up $2. Have a great day.
Well, thanks for watching this morning's Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey. We sure appreciate you tuning in and starting your day with us here. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Please note that this video is not intended as legal licensed financial trading advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your financial advisor before making any decisions, and thanks for watching.